Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dan Trotter, Pretty Good Bible Studies. I am now going to cover in this short audio Psalms 142. I will call the psalm, You Are My Refuge. The heading to the psalm says this, a maskil of David when he was in the cave, a prayer. Now, what is a maskil? The NIV note says it's probably a literary or musical term. Nobody knows for sure. What cave is being referred to here? Well, here's a couple of options. Option number one, it's the cave of Adullam. If you recall, David was fleeing from Saul and he went into Philistine territory. He went to the first Philistine city, had to run from there, and he hid in a cave at a place called Adullam, a village or a town or a city called Adullam, which was to the west of Jerusalem in Philistine territory. We read in 1 Samuel 22:1, so David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam, and when his brothers and all his father's household heard of it, they went down there to him. So David's on the run. He's in the cave of Adullam. That's the first option. David was also seen in a cave at En-Gedi when he was running from Saul. En-Gedi is that place of palm trees halfway down the western coast of the Dead Sea. We read in 1 Samuel 24:3, he came to the sheepfolds on the way. This is talking about Saul, where there was a cave, and Saul went in to relieve himself. Now David and his men were sitting in the inner recesses of the cave. This is a famous instance where David could have whacked Saul, but refused to do it because he didn't want to touch God's anointing. In both cases, David is on the run, and he's in trouble, so we don't know which cave he's in, but he was in a cave, and things were bad. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean the psalm was composed in the cave. It could refer to David's fugitive existence in the cave, as Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown say. And so we begin by reading verses 1 through 4. David begins, I cry aloud with my voice to the Lord. I make supplication with my voice to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare my trouble before him. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, you knew my path. The U is capitalized as referring to God. You, God, knew my path. In the way where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see, for there is no one who regards me. There is no escape for me. No one cares for my soul. Well, David is in the mully grubs here. This is the typical pattern of David. He talks about how screwed up his situation is. Then he says, but I'm going to call on God and you're going to deliver me. Now in verse 1, he says, I cry aloud with my voice to the Lord. This prayer of desperation was not a silent prayer. He cried aloud with his voice to the Lord. He's yelling, please God, help me. I make supplication with my voice to the Lord. Verse 2, I pour out my complaint before him. Now, the NIV Study Bible makes a note here. They say, it is all right to complain about our situation before God. Well, of course it is. God, I hate this situation. Please deliver me. Now, of course, there are some misguided opinions being put forth by the name it and claim it Copeland Hagenites, the blab it and grab it, mark it and park it, scream it and redeem it, confess it and possess it heretics, who say that if you say anything negative, then God's not going to answer your prayer because it's a negative confession. Well, David here is complaining, and God answered his prayers. This idea of complaint is also exhibited by the unknown author of Psalms 102. The heading to that psalm says this, a prayer of the afflicted when he is faint and pours out his complaint before the Lord. Normal people don't have any problems with pouring out one's complaint before the Lord. David continues his complaining when he says in verse 3, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, you knew my path. Now that path could refer to the path that David has already taken in order to get him into the mess that he was in, but God knew it all along. He was there with him all along. Or it could be that God knows David's path to get him out of the trouble he's in. Or it could be both, actually. But David appeals to God's omniscience, and he's basically saying God is going to live. He's basically saying that God is going to deliver me. In the way where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. So this path that David is walking that God knows about has traps on it laid by David's enemies. God knows this, though, but there are traps there. And so David says in verse 4, look to the right and see. Why look to the right? Well, because the right is the place of a protector. David in Psalms 110 and verse 5 says this, the Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings in the day of his wrath. The right hand is the hand of power and authority and strength, because most people are right-handed and became a metaphor for strength. So David says, I'm going to look to my right. He's looking for some protection down here on earth. He looks to his right. Who's coming to help me? Nobody. There is no one who regards me, he says. That's the NASB. The NIV says, there's no one who is concerned for me. And how many times have you felt like nobody gives a rip about why you're here? Especially when things are not going well, especially when people are attacking you. That reminds me when I was in academia and a professor would get in trouble with the administration and they would get all hot and bothered and talked about rallying people to their side. And I looked at that professor and I says, you are dead meat. You don't have any power. The administration has power and they're going to can you and there's nothing you can do about it. And don't feel bad about it. There's nothing personal, but you don't have a chance. But it's human nature when you get in trouble to look for help. And generally, you won't find any help. For there is no one who regards me. There is no escape for me, David says. No one cares for my soul. We move now to verses 5 through 7 in Psalms 142, and we will finish the psalm. David continues, I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. And of course, portion means inheritance. Give heed to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring my soul out of prison, so that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. In verse 5, when David says, my portion in the land of the living, that's God is his portion, his inheritance. While he's down here living his life on this earth, God is his inheritance, even though God is in heaven. There is a psalm written by Asaph, Psalm 73:26. Psalms 73, verse 26, the author of whom is Asaph, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. That's our inheritance. When your flesh and your heart may fail, that's when you're dead. But it doesn't matter. God is your inheritance forever, eternally. David, in verse 6 of Psalms 142, says, give heed to my cry, for I am brought very low. How is he brought low? Because of his persecutors. Deliver me from my persecutors, he says. They're too strong for me. This sounds like David's fellow psalmist Asaph, who also says he was brought low. He says in Psalm 79, verse 8, do not remember the iniquities of our forefathers against us. Let your compassion come quickly to meet us, for we are brought very low. Anybody who thinks that the Christian life is a bed of roses doesn't understand life. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are, how much money you have, how beautiful or handsome you are, how much power you have, at some point in your life, you will be brought very low. You will be persecuted by other people. David says, deliver me from my persecutors. Asaph says, let your compassion come quickly to meet us. David continues in verse 7, bring my soul out of prison. He's referring probably to the cave he was in, either the cave at Adullam or the cave at En-Gedi. Bring my soul, my person, myself, out of prison, so that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me. Perhaps that's referring to the pious Jews who would join together to make him king, to succeed Saul. Maybe David is thinking about his future kingship, or his kingship, depending on when he wrote this psalm. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. The unknown author of Psalms 116:7 says this, return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. A bountiful harvest is a harvest that is more than adequate. It is superabundant. It's more than you need. God will deal bountifully with David. David is absolutely convinced of it. And of course, all Christians who know their Lord, all sheep who hear the Master's voice, know that God is going to deal bountifully with them, even though they have been brought very low by their circumstances. On that triumphant note, we are now finished Psalms 142. And we are prepared to go in our next audio to Psalms 143, which I will entitle My Soul Thirsts for You. I hope you stay tuned for that audio, and I hope you enjoyed this one.